So they had social gatherings and they would hear back from conventions. Would they talk about upcoming contracts or anything like that?
Well, not too much. I don't think they were much of an issue. There was no strikes or, mm-hmm. you know, things were pretty
calm.
Yeah, there was. This was 49-50. There was the concern about the mines going to close down. But there's nothing you could do, you know, until you knew if it was.
Okay. And was there a fight against the mine closing?
It was just closed, and this is when McMillan and Bodell had their pulp mill. We're going to take most of the workforce.
So, was there pressure from the international and the states against the Canadian wing because of its, you know, being identified with left-wing people or anything like that?
Not at all. Cold War started in 48. Marshall,
right,
Winston Churchill went to the States there. When was that? I was in the Parliament buildings in London when they were discussing the Marshall Plan. You know, that's another thing I did.
Okay, so then you moved to Vancouver from there?
Yeah, see, the mines closed in January 52. And at Easter time, we came over here, and I stayed. And then I phoned Dusty, and there was only one phone in South Wellington. The store, they got him to come and phone me back, and he had a chance of a job. He worked out of town, putting up these transmission lines along from Squamish up, and the transmission line you see in Surrey.
Mm-hmm.
He was a steel worker at first for IBEW. So, and then I was quite happy to move to Vancouver. That's where my parents were.
I wanted to ask you a few more questions about South Wellington. What were the living conditions like there? Can you describe them?
Well, we had a very nice home, and Dusty's father had died in October the year 49, so that we were living with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember when my daughter was born, and I had to go to see a doctor here in Vancouver. I'd come from the hospital here to Vancouver, to my parents' place, and the doctor was quite disgusted, you know. Why didn't you go home to your husband, sort of thing? And I said, well, the idea of having hot water and having plumbing and all these things seemed very attractive to me. Because South Wellington still had outhouses. And this is just 7 miles out of Nanaimo. The doctor was sort of, you know, he could, well, I guess it's true, but he hated to believe it. And like, we had the well outside, but we did have a pump,
mm-hmm.
at the sink so that you got the cold water. But you had to heat your water for any, like, washing clothes.
Mm.
No bathtub. You know, there's no bathroom.
What about electricity?
We had electricity, yeah. But it wasn't, I don't know just when they got that. They didn't have it for a long time. They had, during the 30s, I know they didn't have electricity. Because I can remember part of the organizing of the unions, the police came to the door of his parents' place. And he was all by himself. He's about 15, I guess, or something. And I remember him describing, I went to the door with the lamp, and he was shaking. This lamp was shaking, so that they, you know, they didn't have electricity then. I don't know just when they got it.
Okay. And was there, how was the health care?
Oh, they had baby clinics. I went to a baby clinic in Nanaimo. But I had to go to it.
Yeah.
But I was only there. Didaldo was 6 months old when we came to Vancouver.
Ah, okay.
Saw that.
And how about accidents in the mines? Was that a big issue for women?
Well, it in the past it was. In Nanaimo area in Vancouver Island has the worst record in North America, I think. They, I know that Dusty, like not his family, but well, the neighbor, next door neighbor, lost someone. That different, you know, and I know the generation before had lost members.
What about disease from the mind?
Yeah, mm-hmm. From the coal dust, yeah.
So were these issues that women would talk about at the, like the community facilities and health and safety?
Well, a lot of these things had happened, like they had showers right at the pit head,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, Dusty didn't come home to it black. You know, those conditions had been won. A lot of these things had already happened when I
mm-hmm.
got there.
Okay. So you came to Vancouver, and he was in IBW.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And you were going to tell me about the experience with trusteeship and...
Yeah, well, I have some of this material someplace. Another thing that I'd like you to see if you haven't seen it is the Constitution of the LA. You'd think it was written today. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Yeah, I thought I knew exactly where to find mine to show you, but I still have it.
Okay, I can check with you if you can remember.
Yeah.
I think I may have seen an earlier one in the archives, but that was
yeah.
from the 40s.
Yeah, well, it'd be the same one.
Would it be? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you read that and you'd think it was today.
Uh-huh.
You know, they talk about peace and, they talk about... It's, I wonder, I marvel. Every time I read it over, I marvel at, just how far-sighted they...
Mm-hmm.
Women were when they started out, but I guess it was just sort of before World War II, just in the late 30s that they did it. So
mm-hmm.
it's around then that they formed.
Okay, so Vancouver and the IBW.
Yeah, IBW. Well, that happened 53, 54, 55, somewhere around there. Because they knew that we had just moved here. They knew we just had a new baby, a second one, by then. They knew, they knew exactly where we were at.
Who's they?
The people that came in, trusteeships.
Okay.
To try and buy you, like they do. But Dusty was one of 15 that was suspended for no reason. I mean, he went to the union meeting, but all he did was go to the union meeting. And the ones that really got hurt was like George G., who was the business agent, and Don Wilson. You could get more information on this from Dusty, really.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, they didn't trying to save their jobs, and they were just kicked right out of the union. Especially George G. And so they got the support of the women. And Kay Whiting, I don't know, have you met her?
No.
She was the president. She's around Burnaby. She did a good job at that time. And We had a little publication, and we served coffee, and you know, we was just a group to really give support to the men and to actually to keep the women informed, and it was a one issue group, really, I guess. I'd like to have seen it kept going, but when the situation was over, well then it ceased to exist.
Okay, was the trusteeship of the entire local?
Yeah.
Okay, and then is this group of people who were suspended, did the local continue then without them?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like Dusty was still a union member. But he couldn't attend union meetings. But he could still help by keeping people informed, or
right.
You know, they would come and get guidance from him. He knew all along what was, you know, he was too dedicated not to know what was going on.
Okay.
But he served his 15 years. They did try to get rid of him. He worked, and some of them did just drift away, you know. But he worked on the school board in the summers for a while, because he didn't get much work in the union. And I remember at one time they said, if you don't pay up your dues and bring this form, you're out. And yet that form was at the school board office. So what do you do? So I phoned up the girl at the school board and explained that you have this form, but he's supposed to show it at the union office. And I believe what happened was that she sent a photostatic copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow or other she saved the day, so that he was paying double dues. Like he was a member of the IBEW, he wasn't going to walk away. And when the 15 years was up and he went to his first meeting, they nominated him for president.
So it was a 15-year suspension?
Mm-hmm.
And did that mean that he couldn't work in the industry?
Oh no, he worked in the industry all the time.
He could.
They tried to discourage him not to. Like they phoned him up and offered him a job cleaning up heavy oil for a couple of weeks out at Ioco.
Uh-huh.
And you wouldn't want that job, would you?
Because it was like a hiring hall?
Well, no, they have a seniority list when you phoned up. So as long as you stay on it, you know.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, should I go there or should I go to the school board? So anyways, he went there. And, well, he worked for BCI Drill till he's going to retire at the end of October. That was, you know, that's the way he got back into work. And he met different people were sympathetic that he, you know, that he didn't know about. And different people recognized him as someone that, like, he was in the, he didn't have to go to war in 41 because he was a minor and they were exempt. But he joined up because, you know, he was anti-fascist. And one of the people remembered him. He was transporting the troops back and forth across the inlet, English Channel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the officers, previous officers, recognized him.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the medical corps. So
right.
Yeah.
Okay. When you say that the women got together to support these men, which women were they, and was it a formal structure? It wasn't an auxiliary, was it?
Well, it was called a club, and we had a chairman and a treasurer, and a, you know, we had officers, and I'd say a lot of them were those men that were being attacked. When I think of who the men are, a lot of those, but not all of them, like Kay Whiting, the president, her husband wasn't threatened at all.
So was this club of women only?
Electrical Workers Women Club. Mm-hmm. It was women.
And did it represent all the women, potentially represent all the women?
Anyone could join, yes, but those that were most affected, I say, were the ones that were really there, but the others were there. And like I say, the president, her husband, I don't think was threatened at any time. He was in another branch of the union. A transmission or something. He had a different kind of aspect of the union.
Was this club for women from all different locals?
I'd say so. I'm not sure. The locals, it'd be the Lower Mainland locals, though. When you say locals, there's six locals, but some of them are northern BC, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be the Lower Mainland.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All the furniture in?
So, what role then did this club play? Would you meet with the men and talk to them? Would you raise money? How would you?
No, but they worked together. The men were instrumental in it happening, so they certainly worked with us.
Okay, why did they start it?
Because of the urgency of the situation and the importance of having help and the importance of the women knowing what's going on, giving support to each other, you know, as well as to the men.
Did families kind of go into crisis because of what was happening?
Some people got ill, you know, emotionally so upset that they were ill. Yes, you know.
So this kind of network was really essential for.
Yeah, it was important. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they hoped to win. They really thought that it was very unjust, and it was, you know, it was very unjust.
Why was the trusteeship?
Cold War, I guess, you know.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't just the IBW that had it happen to them.
Right.
It's, you know, it's the influence from the States.
Right. Okay, so.
Is that you, Mr. Dan?
Okay. Back. We were saying that the reason the trusteeship happened was because of general anti-communism, and the leadership was seen as a left-wing leadership. So were most of the women who were involved with these men, who were wives and so on, were they fairly politically active themselves or politically conscious?
No. Some of them didn't know anything. They just knew that, you know, the job and the union and supporting their husband.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why it was important to give support.
Yeah.
And so, like, George Dew's wife was really, you know, and the family were very, affected, and, well, it meant the lack of education for one of them when he was cut right off. Joyce was a very talented musician.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't go on at that time. I guess she has now. But
mm-hmm. Okay, so how would you give support? What kind of things would you do?
Well, we'd serve coffee when we, you know, travel around like that. And we'd get together and have a little publication to let people know just what was happening and try to keep people up posted. And
did the women write for the publication?
Well, it was their own publication, a women's publication. And
do you remember what kind of themes there were in it, or what you talked about?
I was supposed to be the editor, but I was very poor at that job. Sometimes even recipes on The women were all invited to submit things to it. So it was everybody's publication, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried not to change anything, which I don't know if that's the right way to do it or not, but that's the kind of thing it was.
So would women write letters about their opinions about the union, or?
Well, just articles about what was happening on the union situation. I guess they'd be talking to their husband and that, and different people, and just whatever they, how they felt about it, and that kind of thing.
Okay.
Someplace in this house, I think I still have some of those things, but I don't know if I'll find them or not. I've got a little plastic bag full of them someplace.
Okay. And were you actually able to sort of help some of the families where there was this kind of crisis going on? Did it bring people through together?
Well, I think the fact that you kept meeting and knowing about where it was at,
mm-hmm.
well, then people did. You know, just being there sometimes was helping, wasn't it?
Right.
So.
How did you organize the fight inside, help to organize the fight inside the union? Did you?
Well, I wouldn't say we did that.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd have dances,
mm-hmm.
and all very big dances.
Uh-huh.
To raise money, but then those were the people that, you know, they knew why they, you know, like any benefit dance, they knew why it was being held and that kind of thing. And that took a lot of effort and work and planning, especially when a lot of them had never had anything to do with anything like that before. You know, it was all something new to them. And the men worked with them. It was a joint effort. I think when it was a dance, it wasn't the ladies putting it up. It was a joint effort. Informal, you know, but everybody was there helping.
So were you trying to reach the membership? Like the broad
membership? Yeah, we're trying to. Those dances would do that,
yeah.
You see. The people would come,
mm-hmm.
because they were sympathetic, and then they naturally would learn more about it. I mean,
Was the hope that the membership would end up fighting the trusteeship, or?
Well, the hope was that George G. would keep his job, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it was a fight for George G. and the other members, other 14 members.
And what happened finally with that?
Well, George was out completely.
Mm-hmm.
Some got 10 years, some got 15 years.
And did the club stay in touch? Did people stay in touch?
Well, no. It was a one-issue thing. But I think there was that friendship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The friendship is still there. Even today, you know,
yeah.
that friendship is still there.
Was there an internal union trial or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Each of them went on trial. But you'll have to ask Dusty about that part.
Okay. So, after that, were you involved in any other auxiliaries or union?
No, see, Dusty was with the IBW
right
on.
And there was no auxiliary?
No.
Okay.
Every once in a while I'd bring up the subject. It would be nice to have one, but
mm-hmm.
okay. you know, that's as far as it went.
When you were in the mine workers auxiliary, did the men in the union generally support their wives being involved in the auxiliary, or were there mixed feelings about that?
Well, it was, as I said, it was I joined it near the tail end of
mm-hmm.
it, and it was an acceptance. You know, this is what the women did. You know,
okay.
And there was no opposition that they sent delegates to the Joint Labor Council. Yeah, that was good, and that they participated in May Day celebrations and whatever they did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's it sort of for my questions. Do you have anything you wanted to add to
Well, I was thinking about it before you came. I was thinking of the early days and Nanaimo and the working with the Congress of Canadian Women and Labour Council and the workers, electrical workers, women's club.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the main things.
Okay.
And when I was working in Saanichton, the big thing was the fact that I went.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
Right.
So, but I've always participated in.
Right.
That would be, would have been a professional organization. I think I belong to about three of them.
Right.
Vital Pathology Club, the agricultural one, the professional one, and the BC one, the agrologists they started up
mm-hmm.
when I was working. So, you know, I belonged to all of them, and, but that was it.
Mm-hmm. Great. You mentioned you were involved in the South Wellington PTA.
Yeah, and...
Why was that?
Well, that's the one group that was active in that community.
Mm-hmm.
Where the, and it was mainly women. And they that was their link with Nanaimo. I remember I ran for office with the Nanaimo PTA Council. I didn't get elected, though. But, you know, they the local group sponsored me to run. So. And they'd have speakers in, and they'd have a little raffle each time. It was a lot of it was social, but
mm-hmm.
they kept in touch with
right.
what was going on in the school and the community. It's same here where I live, in the Franklin School. The PTA here was the community organization. We're the ones that got the sidewalk on the overpass, got the stairs down from the overpass, got this light at Skeena and Hastings for the children to cross,
right.
got the fencing up for the school when that bridge was made so that kids couldn't run out into Skeena Street. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
it's a community organization. In fact, one thing they did here, they stopped the bus increase. I didn't realize how important that was to this area till another lady that's involved was telling me. They still talk about when we stopped the bus increase, you know? Like, we were involved with the BC Homeschool, like the provincial PTA, and we went over to Victoria, three of us. I was one of them, John Stanton and Lil Wood. Presented a brief. And I think the reason they were concerned here, this is one area where the kids take the bus to go to school. At
mm-hmm.
that time, they had to go to Britannia High from here. And from Boundary Road and Edinburgh Street, that's a long way. You know, it's more than 2 miles, which
mm-hmm.
is the limit. You know, if they lived any other place, they'd have a bus. In fact, they do. The Eaton bus used to make a special run to Templeton High School. It used to, instead of going just to Renfrew Street, it would go to Nanaimo and Hastings. So the kids actually, in a way, had a school bus. They had to pay, but it made a special run. And in the evening, 3:30 or whatever time it was, that bus was there for them to make that extra jaunt.
What year did they fight the increases, do you remember?
This was the year when they didn't increase the fare for kids.
Is that recently or?
No. And it was be about the time that Templeton High School became a high school. Just before that, because I guess it'd be early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
About. About then, I guess.
Okay.
Maybe later. Maybe earlier than that. Uh-huh. I just forget.
Okay.
We did so many things.
Yeah. That's great. Okay.